Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Long Island, and money-making Manhattan. Home of Bashani Radio App.
New York, here we come!
From Wall Street to the boogie down Bronx, keep it locked in. We started from the bottom, now we here. Bashani Radio App, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. Now we here.
Coming through clean, pushing big things, Bashani Magazines. Give a brother some dap, do the right thing, download the app. Coming through clean, pushing big things, Bashani Magazines. Yeah, give a brother some dap, do the right thing, download the app.
Welcome to another edition of Bashani Radio App Magazine, where we highlight the hottest entrepreneurs on the scene. The way that we do this, you can never fake this. Bashani Radio App Magazine, a witness to greatness. Let's go.
Bashani Magazine, so fresh, so clean. Bashani Magazine, so fresh, so clean. Bashani Magazine, so fresh, so clean. Bashani Magazine.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Bashani Radio App Magazine. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and you can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com, or you can go to our private community at BennyOnDemand.com. Everything we're doing right here can only be heard exclusively on Bashani Radio App, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. So make sure you go to the App Store and download the Bashani Radio app for iPhone and Android at the wonderful price of absolutely free. All right, so you have zero excuses of why you are not downloading the powerful app that gives you powerful content every single day. Today's extraordinary entrepreneur, as we say, Bashani Radio Magazine is about a witness to greatness. Her name is Valerie Campbell. Struggled for years to find herself worthy of love, attracting guys who used her, abused her, then disappeared on her, giving far too many, too much than I received, than she received, striving to meet their needs and not her own. Yet within herself, there was a voice that said that you can do better. You've got to stop wasting your time and lipstick on frogs. You need to do better. She witnessed women who had attracted men who treated them like queens, like royalty. And all she wanted was to know what makes them different. What's their secret? As if the answer to that question, the universe ushered her into the direction of the answer. She had an abusive past. She found herself attending counseling and slowly began to build a better relationship with herself. There she would discover, even though she was lost, she had not lost her value. Hot damn, right here on Bashani Radio App Magazine. Valerie, how are you doing today?
Hi, Benny. I am fine. I'm feeling great. I'm in London and it's very, very windy, but the weather is warm.
Well, we're probably going to blow them away with this show, but we're going to make sure that you stay on point. All right. You know, when I often read people bios, I noticed that it's the opportunity that they're given, that they are putting themselves out on a limb to share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And as you begin to talk about what happened to you during your time of self-discovery and finding your voice, it's amazing that now we talk to you and you have become the pillar. You have become that individual that women seek out to understand how to find their voice. How did you get here, Valerie?
How did I get here? Well, as you just mentioned, I came from a very big household, second eldest of 11 children. And it was a warm household to a certain point, but my dad, I used to call him the big bad wolf. And it was through him that I experienced verbal, physical, and sexual abuse, inappropriate touching. And my dad was really, let's say that he was a big bad wolf. Mm-hmm. He would literally enter the room and the room would go dark. And all of us as kids, as children, would just scatter because we didn't want to be in his presence.
So I just want to be clear for my listeners.
Yeah.
You were mm-hmm. abused by your father.
Yes.
Okay. And that was mentally, physically, and sexually, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to be clear. Go ahead.
And, you know, growing up, I would wear baggy clothes, and that started at the age of 11. And so to disguise myself or to try and make myself invisible, I would wear baggy clothes. So I didn't actually see myself growing up into a woman, like a lot of other women. I remember at school, friends would say, oh, Valerie, you've really got a nice figure. But for me, that was my curse.
So you wanted to hide that, which
exactly.
You thought caused you to go through the traumatic
Absolutely.
Trauma that you have
yes.
went through.
Growing
Is that understanding?
That's right. Growing up into a woman was what caused me the problem. It wasn't good to be an attractive. It wasn't good to be an attractive woman because look what it brought me. That was my thing at that time.
I just want to stop you for a second mm-hmm. there. So that yeah. is a mindset that can be very crippling if you don't do something about it, correct?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Please continue.
Yeah. So imagine as from 11 year old, I would wear baggy clothes. I didn't see my development. I was trying to make myself invisible, not just, visually visible, but also to my own voice, because I felt that my voice didn't have any power because my dad was such a strict individual. You know, in those days, children were seen and not heard. And you were, what you were told to do, you did. And so my voice, I remember the first time my dad inappropriately touched me, I wanted to scream, mm-hmm. but it was stifled within me. And
how, if I may ask, you mm-hmm. tell me if I'm going too far.
Yeah, sure.
How old were you and what was your immediate response that first experience?
Right. Well, I was 11 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was making the bed at the time. And my dad asked me an inappropriate question. And he said to me that a father was supposed to be the first person to touch his daughter.
Wow.
Now, I'm an 11-year-old.
Wow.
I'm a child. And I was old enough to know, that is absolute BS. But yet I didn't have the power, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad would inappropriately touch me. There was never anything like physical penetration or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet as a young woman growing up where your busts are beginning to grow and your hips are coming out and, you're kind of like growing into puberty. You know how that's uncomfortable. And so I wasn't able to kind of really fully embrace that because as a child, I felt like I was on the run all the time.
Mm.
And
you felt like you were on the run from yourself or from that environment?
Both.
Wow.
Yeah.
At 11 years old.
Yes.
Did you not have anyone? I mean, I'm just asking the questions for the purpose of the listeners.
Sure.
Did you not have anyone that you could trust that you can talk to when that occurred?
I didn't. You see, at that time, my mother was 20 years younger than my dad. So my mom was 25 when she had me. And she came over from the Caribbean at, you know, 25 is young in this day. But if you imagine it back in the day, a 25-year-old was probably like a 17-year-old in terms of their thinking. My mom came over and was literally having babies almost every single year. There's 11 of us.
Wow.
Some of us are 11 months apart.
So you had 11 siblings.
Yes. Yes.
Were they all from the same man?
From the same mother, yep. Same parents.
No, I mean the same parents.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
My elder sister. And the reason why I didn't go to my mother is because it had happened to one of my other sisters. And when I had stood up for her and confronted my mother with this, her first response was, well, let's go and speak to dad to see if this is true. And of course, what's my dad going to say? He's going to say, no, that's not true. So I've got 11-year-old and this big wolf in front of me. You know, what chance did I have? So when it started to happen to me, I felt like there was no one for me to run to, essentially. My mom didn't have relatives. She was the only person in this country. So she didn't have anybody that she could actually lean on herself. So,
wow.
At that time,
let me ask you a question. Just, yeah. I know you were young at that particular time.
Yes.
Do you think your mom was aware of what was going on?
I think she was in denial.
Ooh.
And I think partly
so that means that she was aware.
I'm not sure. I can't speak for her. I can't speak for her.
What are your gut feeling tell you? I'm just asking you because you know why? There are so many other young ladies that go through this.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, you know, when it's an immediate family, they might look to the other person to, you know, to be that safe place. But what I've come to find out a lot of times that sometimes that other person may know, but they just simply act like they don't know because they don't feel like they're powerful enough to face it on. You understand what I'm saying?
I believe that was the situation.
Wow.
But with my older sister, my mom knew because obviously I told her. And as an adult, when I actually told my mom, she was actually shocked, genuinely shocked. She said that she didn't know that I had gone through the same thing. And she asked me, why didn't I come to her? And I said, remember, I came with my sister. And witnessing how you handled that situation, I knew that you couldn't handle my situation. So I had no choice but to try and defend myself the best way that I knew how. And that was by wearing invisible clothes, my invisible clothing.
I'm curious, why did you refer to it as invisible clothing? You felt like because you wore baggy clothing, it didn't expose the body that you felt brought on that experience. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
This is an amazing story.
Also my voice was invisible because I couldn't voice. I didn't have the power to express myself. So my voice also became invisible. I became invisible to myself.
Wow. The invisible voice. Wow. Whew. This is deep, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Bashani Radio App Magazine. We're speaking to the fabulous Valerie A. Campbell. She's also the author of the new powerful masterpiece of a book called The Difference. Where she sheds lights on her train of thought and how you can find your voice through your own perspective. And you're witnessing right now the verbal masterpiece of what's in that written masterpiece. Shall we continue, Valerie?
Absolutely. So I remember the turning point for me at that time was my mom was traveling, and usually it was my dad that used to travel every single year for a period of 6 weeks. And he worked at Buckingham Palace, by the way. So I really felt like prior to that incident happening that I was a princess.
Wow.
And married a prince, you know. And but then when that happened, you know, the whole world just turned a murky gray. My perspective actually changed.
You no longer felt like you was a princess. You felt like you were a hostage.
Yeah, I didn't feel like a princess at all. Yeah.
Wow.
I felt more like, you know, the story of Rapunzel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that fairy tale.
Absolutely. Rapunzel, let down your hair.
Absolutely. Let down your hair. So I was living in a tower. And I remember my mom said she was going away. And I remember feeling absolutely terrified because, unbeknown to my mom, I was kind of hiding behind her apron strings, even though she didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, if she travels, I'm going to be totally exposed. Who am I going to hide behind? And I remember going to my room and kneeling down and praying to God and saying, God, you've got to help me here. Like, please, please, please help me, because he's going to have full reign of the situation when my mom travels. I was absolutely petrified. And so what happened was, I think it was within the next couple of days, my mom announced that my cousin was actually coming over from St. Vincent, and he would be staying at our home to study to become a doctor.
Mm. So this is a male cousin, correct?
That's right. Yes.
Okay, cool.
And you have to realize that my mom had no relatives. So this was like a big event. And so when he came over just in the same time that my mom traveled. And from that point, the inappropriate touching stopped. And I think it was because of fear of my dad feeling that he would get caught. And so things began to then change.
You're having another male inside this environment. Now he's not all the way in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Worrying about his own exposure.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so if you imagine then, I grew up. So I've grown up. My adult body has grown up now. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm a young woman. I'm working. But I'm still really shy as an individual. My self-esteem is still low. And.
We're talking about. Previously now, not at this moment, but after the fact that you have this male cousin come on. So this male cousin honestly seems like it was the answer to one of your prayers.
Absolutely. That's how I see it. I saw it as a miracle, and that God actually does answer prayers. That's how I saw it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. I love it. That's simply amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, amazing. So now let's fast forward. How did you escape that? And then, because what I want to do, you know, and I must admit, you were a strong individual to be able to share this in front of about 3 million people or even more than that. This is your story. But what I wanted to start there, because I want you to go from what happened to what you did about it to how you help others. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What I did about it.
Right. Yeah. What I mean, what you did about it, meaning you had the ability of two options.
Yes.
You could either work on yourself or you can suppress it and just live this invisible life.
Yes. Yes.
You chose to work on yourself, which puts you in a position so you can work on others.
Absolutely.
That's power.
Yes.
So that's what I mean, what you did about it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, when I became a young adult in my early 20s, I remember I was at home one day and a leaflet came through the door. And the leaflet had bullet points on it. And the leaflet, by this time my dad had gone, he'd gone back to the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was no longer living with you guys, or you had moved out?
That's right. He was no longer around.
Why? Did your parents get divorced or something?
No, no, no. He just went back home for fear of getting caught. We were all growing older.
Gotcha. So yeah, no longer could he threaten, no longer could he silence you with the power of being older, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Wow. Exactly. So he was like, let me get out of this house.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That was it.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So the wolf tucked his tail between his legs and ran. So that was that.
Wow. So let me ask you something before we get mm-hmm. on to how you help others. Mm-hmm. What ended up happening with that relationship?
With what relationship?
Your dad. Like, after he moved away, he moved away for fear of being caught and called out, correct?
Yeah, I never spoke to him. I never spoke to him again.
After he moved out? Is he still alive?
No, he's passed away now.
Oh, okay. He never got to really get exposed?
No. And, you know, it was funny because I always wanted to get to a point in my life where I felt strong enough to confront him as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got the opportunity.
Do you regret it?
There's a part of me that regrets it, but because I've forgiven him, I don't think about it anymore. It doesn't have a hold on
you. Absolutely.
If it makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For all of those young ladies that are listening, how does one forgive someone who has basically stole their childhood with an unspeakable act?
The way that I saw it, Benny, was that I didn't want to be shackled to my past and bring it with me everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way for me to release that chain, as it were, was to forgive. Hurt people. I don't know where he got his perspective from, that was okay.
That is so powerful. Can you please repeat that again? What did you say? Hurt people what?
Hurt people.
Wow. That's deep. Explain, where did that understanding come from after all that you've been through?
Where did that understanding come from?
Because that's pretty deep for you to say hurt people, because oftentimes we hear, okay, I was hurt and now I got over it. Now I'm helping people. And, you know, and then some other mm-hmm. people say, well, I was hurt. I forgot about it and now it's good. And they never look at maybe how their other relationships may have been affected by that, you know, quietly. Where did you come to that understanding? What got you there? Because I'm asking these questions because there is somebody, I can promise you, that's listening to this episode right here, okay?
Yeah.
And they are in that same exact predicament, and they don't know how to escape. You understand?
I think for me, it was just because I'd always had a very close relationship with God growing up, despite everything. And I believe that people are inherently good people. I just believe that. And so therefore, if you imagine a baby's born and that baby's born into an environment and those, whatever environment it's been born into, the program is being subject to forms a filter, as it were. Now, Benny, I don't know where his hurt or his pain came from. You know, like I mentioned, I believe that we're born inherently good. And, you know, I can only imagine he must be born into an environment that distorted his view of the world. Because, and I have to believe that because I don't believe that a person that is of sound mind would do that to another person, much less your own child.
Does that excuse his behavior?
It doesn't excuse his behavior at all. But I recognize that he has his story. But for me,
does that help you deal with it better?
It helped deal with me better, but it was more, the forgiveness was for me. It was for me to cut that chain, that those shackles to the past, so that I could actually move on, you know, because if I'm shackled to the past and I bring that with me everywhere I go, then that's just going to hold me in the dark.
Absolutely.
You know, how am I going to be a light and an inspiration for others who are going through the same thing? And so forgiveness is absolutely essential to moving on with your life.
Wow.
I believe that each of us has been predestined with a purpose. And it's for us to use our voice to get our purpose out there. And we can't do that if we're letting these experiences hold us back.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Pashani Radio App Magazine, where we are a witness to greatness. And we'll be right back after this short break.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Long Island, and money-making Manhattan, home of Pashani Radio App.
New York, here we come!
From Wall Street to the boogie down Bronx, keep it locked in. We started from the bottom, now we here. Pashani Radio App, or listen online at PashaniRadio.com. Now we here.
Thank you and welcome back to the continuation of one of the greatest shows I think we've ever done on Pashani Radio App. We are speaking to the extraordinary Valerie A. Campbell. And, you know, sometimes when you do interviews, you don't know where they're going to go. Of course, people come on and they want to talk about things they want to talk about or what they're promoting or what they're selling. But every now and then somebody comes and you can feel their heart. You can feel their soul. This is one of those interviews. Valerie has exposed herself in such a way so that others can get through it. And that's what this is about. Finding your voice. You know what I mean? I like to say, as I listen to her story in the first half of this, and if you just joining us, make sure the beauty of podcasts is that you can always go back and rewind. And don't just rewind this, download this and keep this as a reference, because I can promise you there's somebody out there that needed to hear this story, you know, because not only has she found her voice, but she regained her power. And now it is in her power that she is setting everybody else up that hears this story to regain their power. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why we're here. Everything that we go through and we get through is meant for us to share. And that's what she is doing right now. Valerie, we left on a note of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. What does forgiveness mean to you?
Forgiveness means releasing yourself from the past and claiming your power so that you can move into the future with boldness and for what you've been predestined for, to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill your function while you're here. Claiming your power. That's what forgiveness is.
Very, very powerful. And in forgiveness, do you think people free themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Forgiveness feels like heavy energy. And when you forgive, you feel so much lighter.
And what happens to those people who choose not to forgive themselves?
They don't move on. They can't move on. Sometimes they can become bitter and twisted, distorted. Distorted perception of the world. And they don't become all that they can be.
I remember reading a quote somewhere. I'm not sure who said it. It says, you know, don't become bitter, become better.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and that's very, very powerful. Now I, you know, and I'm glad that we started off this interview in this way, because now it sets us up for where we need to be to understand why you decided to write this masterpiece called The Difference. Can you give my listeners a little insight on the difference.
A little insight.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I kind of touched on earlier that in my early 20s, I received a leaflet through the door with bullet points on it. And I remember two of them clearly. It was, are you under 25? You know, have you been through any type of abuse? And I remember the fourth bullet point was call this number. And so I had counseling. And counseling, again, shifted the perspective of how I saw myself. It was actually in that environment that I found that even though I was lost, I hadn't lost my value. Mm. So when I held on to the fact that I hadn't lost my value, that's what took me through. There's a story in the Bible about a woman who lost a penny, who lost a coin, and she swept the house clean. And when she found the penny, she rejoiced because the penny, even though it was lost, it hadn't lost its value. It had just lost its usefulness. And I wanted to be useful. I was aware that other people were going through the same thing, because in those days it was very much, you know, you keep your business in the home. I'd seen my sister go through it, and I knew that other people were going through it as well, but I couldn't help other people unless I helped myself.
And what ended up happening to your sister, knowing that she suffered the same stuff?
My sister didn't go through counseling. She still struggles. She still struggles with it.
Has it affected her relationships?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is why it's so important to go ahead and, you know, come to terms with it, I guess, as you would say. As much as you can come to terms with it. Wow, this is amazing. Okay, so now I had the privilege of reading The Difference. And I one thing I think that I like the most about it is you discuss, and now I understand it more having this interview with you. You discussed a lot about finding your voice. Can you tell my listeners, what does that mean in their life? Even if they haven't went through what you have went through, it is imperative that everybody finds their voice at some point in their life. Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you talk about that, please?
Finding your voice is about having the ability and knowing that your feelings are valid, and to be able to express your feelings. I think when you express your feelings, that is you expressing your voice, because your feelings want to be heard. And I think when, you know, like even when two people are in conflict, and if another person doesn't hear the other person, even though they might maybe saying something superficially, the other person doesn't actually feel heard until their feelings are acknowledged. That's when they feel heard. You see?
Wow. So look at people, people finding their voice are looking for some type of validation from those who
not validation.
What is it?
Just having the ability to validate themselves.
Okay, gotcha.
My voice matters.
Okay, now that makes more sense. My voice matters. Gotcha.
My voice matters. And I don't need permission from anybody to voice my voice. So it's about taking ownership of it.
My voice matters. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. When you begin to talk, what I liked about the book, you begin to talk about different perspectives. And you talked about the tree. Without giving away too much, can you give my listeners a little insight on the tree?
You want me to tell them the story about the tree?
Yeah, just a little bit, not too much, because I need them to go get the book, because they don't need to be just sitting here and getting everything right here. You understand what I'm saying? But just give them a little taste about the story about the tree.
That's only one of the stories in the book.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's powerful, though. That's why I brought it up. It's powerful.
So as a young lady, I worked for the rag trade. And every time, like, you know, the phone calls would kind of, you know, diminish.
Mm-hmm.
I would sit at the desk and I would daydream. And so this is my first recollection of this actually happening. So when I looked on my notepad, I would find that I'd written the words subconsciously somehow to know the difference between right and wrong. And I believe that that was as a result, maybe from what I'd gone through as a child, like, mm-hmm. because you know what is right and wrong from what your parents tell you. They're the ones who teach you what is right and wrong. So maybe that's where that came from. And I found myself writing that for years. And then one day I went to a seminar. So for a lot of people at that time, you know, they would go on a Friday night, you know, they would have popcorn and a cinema ticket. For me, it was a seminar ticket and a notepad. I was very much into finding myself, was very much on a journey of spirituality and personal development. So I was like basically a personal development junkie. So I ended up in this a seminar. There was a group of us there, probably about 50 of us. And the teacher, he kind of like got us into this meditative state. And I remember he announced an intermission and I went to the front of the room. And I received a message just as clear as I'm speaking to you, Benny.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I recount it, like my body just goes cold. I heard the words as clear as day that there is no difference. And I realized that it was the answer to what I'd written all those years to know the difference between right and wrong. Here I was being told that there is no difference between right and wrong.
Mm.
And straight away, my mind knew it was the truth. I knew it was a profound truth. I knew it was an epiphany, but I couldn't explain it. The other part of my mind kind of said, what do you mean there's no difference between right and wrong? Everyone knows there's a difference between right and wrong. But I couldn't shake it from my mind. It became my filter. So when I would speak to somebody, or if I'm interacting with somebody, in my brain I would be saying to myself, there's no difference between right and wrong. Your opinion is just as valid as mine. You know, there's no right or wrong here. And so I just went on living my life through that filter. And I said to God, please, you've got to explain to me what this is so that I can articulate it. I can't tell somebody about this experience unless I understand it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I was sitting in a room. And out there's a window directly opposite my desk. And if you look through the window, there's a bench. And by that time, I got used to the spirit's voice. So I call it spirit because I have a very close relationship with the spiritual aspect of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And spirit said to me, do you see that bench outside of your window? And I said, yes. And Spirit said, if you were sat on that bench looking up at that tree above you, you would be adamant that that tree is above you. And I said, yes, of course. And then Spirit said, but if you were in that aeroplane looking down at that tree, you would be adamant that that tree is below you. And I said, yes. So Spirit says, so you're both right and wrong at the same time. There's no difference. The only difference is your point of view. Literally your perspective. And so that then began to open up my understanding of what spirit meant when it said there is no difference between right and wrong.
Very powerful. I love this, man. That analogy is so simple but yet so powerful. Looking up at the tree is above you. In an airplane it's below you. And you are right on both occasions. That is powerful. You go, girl. I ain't mad at you up in here. Mm-hmm. Look at you just teaching up in here. Preach, pastor. You're just teaching up in here. Let me move forward too, because I don't want to give them too much, because they need to go get the book. You know, you understand what I'm saying? That in the chapter that talks about there's a chapter that talked about releasing limited perspectives. You know what I mean? The birthplace of illusions.
Yes.
There was something that hit me when you wrote, the time is now to break hold of beliefs that imprison you from knowing the true life, to break free from the self-imposed judgments that disable you from reaching your true potential. That place that you secretly long for is found in a restored and renewed mind. It is the state that you will see you were never separate from God. Wow. Yes. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit. That is deep. Because basically, and I like what you say in that last line when you say, it is found, that place that you secretly long for is found in a restored and renewed mind. It didn't say different. It didn't say nothing. It said a restored, as if it never left you.
That's
and
right.
Renewed mind. In this state, you will see you were never separate from God. Mm-hmm. Woo, girl, you better preach up in here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, sister.
Well, how deep would you like me to go, Benny? How much do you want me to reveal?
We only got an hour show, so we can't be doing all of that. All right. I just want you to touch on that just for a second. Just for a second.
Right. You know, you've always heard the expression that we're spiritual beings.
Having a human experience.
Yeah, having a human experience. But I think people don't really realize, they don't really understand what that means. You see, there are two worlds. I'm going to give you a story to really help the listener understand. So I remember it was 2007, and it was the last day in July. And my cousin called me and she said, "Mommy's crying." This part isn't in the book, by the way,
mm-hmm.
but it'll help you to understand. And I said, "Why is Mommy crying? Mommy never cries." And she said, "Mommy's crying." And I don't know how quickly I got to Stoke Newington, which is this part in London. I jumped in my car and I got there. And when I got there, there was a police officer in the passageway. And I looked at him and I walked past him. I walked into the living room and there was my mum sat crying. There was a police officer next to her. And I came out and I said to the police officer, what's going on? Like, why are you here? And he said to me, would you like to sit down? And I said, no, like, just tell me. So he said to me, "I'm really sorry to tell you, but your sister has passed away." Now, I have a sister that has bipolar. So I thought, oh my gosh, she's over-medicated or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said to me, "I'm so sorry, but your sister, Francine, was found hanging in the toilets in Portugal."
Wow. Wow.
Now, when I heard that, my body, I emitted this almighty scream. And what happened is my body fell to the ground and my spirit separated from my body. And I was looking at my body writhing on the ground like a snake. And I heard the police officer say, "Hold her head, hold her head." But I was looking at myself. I was looking at my body. And then my body snapped back together. And I got up and I said, "Right, give me the detail. Tell me everything that happened." Now, what I realized years later is that the reason why my body was writhing on the ground, it was not dissimilar to a fish coming out of water. You see, we've got it the other way around. We think that our spirit is in our body, but it's actually our body that is in our spirit.
Interesting.
And we are, when my body separated, that showed me that we have a body and we have a mind. As a spirit, I came into the truth of who I am. Like, I am an unlimited being. You are an unlimited being. You are abundant. Your birthright is that you can access anything that you want. And so when I say you have to to you restore your mind. Because we're in this physical body, it restricts who we are. We're in this world, through our programming, we're taught lies as to who we really are. So when I say about restoring your mind, it's about restoring your mind to the truth of who you are. You are spirit. You were made in the image of God. God is a spirit. So therefore, you are spirit. God is a creator. So therefore, you are a creator. God has free will. You have free will. You see.
Very powerful.
So the more you study who God is, that's when you're actually studying about who you are. So it's actually the other way around. Your body is in your spirit, not the other way around. And so I feel like I'm using my voice to let people know how powerful they are and for them to know that their voice matters.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're joining us, you are listening to Bashani Radio App Magazine, an extraordinary show where we like to interview extraordinary entrepreneurs and become a witness to greatness. I know you may have, when you turned this on, thought you was listening to an episode of Oprah, but no, this is Bashani Radio Magazine, Radio App Magazine, and it is powerful as we speak to Valerie Campbell. Valerie, we're getting down to the last few minutes in this powerful hour, man. This has been extraordinary, man. And I think you dropped some nuggets on people that if you don't go get this book, it's because you didn't want to face the truth. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't say that lightly, because I believe everything has to have a meaning. You said, and God gave us meaning. You said we need to stop clinging to what we think we know. The voice within us, which I will refer to as the insidious. Is that how I say it?
The insidious voice.
I've never heard that term, but I'm working on my English. I'm gonna get better.
It's like a snake. It's like it's pulling you away from who you really are, trying to get you to go into a world of illusions.
Okay.
Into a world of lies, stopping you from realizing your true potential.
Okay, that's what you mean. Okay, thank you for that, because I had no clue what that meant. But I was going to Google it, but I was just going to ride with that. You know what I mean? But as you refer to it, when you talk about that, I think a lot of people suffer from that. They suffer from a very different perspective of who they are. You understand?
Yes, who they are.
Right. Like, you know, if people only knew the power of their greatness, Valerie.
Yes.
They will be amazed at what they can accomplish. Trust me, I came from living in a car, you know what I mean, and dropping out of high school and the whole shebang. And what I've learned, the only thing changed, as I'll say it like you said it, I had a restored and renewed mindset.
Yes.
I didn't have a new one. I just restored what was already there. You know what I mean? It's like having an antique and taking off the rust and stuff and find out that it was solid gold under.
That's exactly it. The way I visualize it is almost like having a window pane that is grayed over and it's got dust and cobwebs. And the dust and the cobwebs represent false beliefs. And the moment you start to clean that away and strip that away, you allow your light, that's who you are, to shine through brilliantly.
And this is something I know about myself, but I love how you articulated here. You said God created us and gave us meaning. God gave us purpose. And without purpose, we do not exist. It is purpose that created us, purpose that connects us, purpose that pulls us, guides us, defines us. It is written. God wrote his purpose on us when he designed and created us. Thoughts on that? Wow, that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Well, let me use an analogy. You know, it's the teacher inside of me.
I know you're very good at analogies.
Whoever created, imagine the person that created the car. Whoever created the car knew where the battery goes, how much water needs to go into that car, the size of the wheels, the tires that need to go into that car. It created the car with purpose. It knew the where that car, what it was predestined for, what it was created for. Imagine if that car had a mouth or free will and turned around and said to its creator, no, that's not where my batteries go. That's not where the water goes. No, you don't get to change my tires. I'm going to use those tires. It doesn't know what's good for it. But why do we as human beings think that we were not created? We're such complex creatures. You know, that I don't understand how people cannot think that they were created. So the same way that a car can be created, we were created. And we were created for a purpose.
Mm. Very, very powerful. Valerie, one thing I can tell you, man, this is one that goes down in the record books. This particular interview need to be used as a reference. And I encourage everybody that listen, not only to listen, but share. Share it with someone. You can go on Bashani Radio app and listen to it, or you can listen online, and there you can download it and share it with your friends. Share it with anybody that you think needs to hear this, because I think today you were meant to touch some people. And I believe your story has an incredible presence on those who might be going through it. You know, mm-hmm. One part that affected me when I read the book, it said, secondly, you know, I tolerated abuse because it was familiar to me. And so I attracted an emotionally unavailable man because my father was of this disposition. And lastly, my biggest insight was that.
Mm.
How many people live in their life like that every single day?
Yeah.
Many, correct?
Absolutely.
And if I ask you to give them two tips that they can start today to not be so familiar with it, what would you say?
I would say to them that you only ever grow when you're outside of your comfort zone.
Mm.
And, you know, if every day feels the same, it's because you're literally living in your past.
Ooh.
You're not living in your future.
Oh, my goodness.
And they've got to find a way, find a higher mind. You know, there was never truer words when Einstein said, you can't change a mind with the same mind that created it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to challenge you on that thought you just made. You say if you're living the same life, you are living in your past.
Yeah.
You're not living in your future. I want to challenge that and say you're not living in the now, the moment.
Absolutely.
And the reason why I say that, because the future is not promised to us, but the moment is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I just want to challenge you on that one. But I think I know what you were saying.
I agree with that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's what you meant, but you said the future, you know. But go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you read personal development books, anything that can expand your mind, expand the paradigm of how you're thinking, that will take you outside of your comfort zone. Because that's where you're going to grow.
Wow. I like when you said I was determined to have better. I was hungry for answers. I was seeking a message from the mess. Ooh, you got some one liners on here. I thought you was used to be a rapper or something. Yeah, you was around me. You were spitting them bars and something. I'm seeking a message from the mess. It was from the spirit that gave me these words to know the difference between right and wrong, knowing the path of restoration is what set me on. I needed spiritual healing, and no man-made clinic could have restored me. Wow. To someone listening to this interview today, Valerie, anywhere around the world, and they need help, and they need help right now, and they're holding this inside because they feel they don't have anyone to talk to. What would be your response? What can they do if they feel they don't have anyone to talk to?
You know, there's a spiritual solution to every problem. You know, going back again to my childhood when I got on my knees, I would say that that was my real kind of like turning point to know that God is real, that I am spirit, that person is spirit. There's always someone that you can talk to. For me, it was going through counseling. You know, there are charities out there. There are people that you can go and talk to. Let your voice out. Let it be heard. Let your feelings be expressed. So just reach out to those places. And
is there any hotlines for people that have gone through like abusive type of relationships that were in the home?
Yeah, well, if you just literally go to Google and put counseling or therapist, like in whatever area that you live, mm-hmm. a whole list will come up.
Wow. Absolutely.
And then just dial the number. Mm-hmm.
Valerie, I got to say, this was one of those interviews that even me, myself, will go back and listen to, because it's one thing when I'm in the moment, but it's another when I can sit back and absorb everything that you said. And you have touched me today in a way that I don't think many people know is possible, because it's something about people's story that makes you recognize their glory. Now I have a better understanding of why you do what you do. What would you want your legacy to be, Valerie?
That I help people find their voice. If you saw me, Benny, when I was a young girl to who I am now, mm-hmm. that were poles apart.
It's like night and day, huh?
Like light and day. And in my living room, I have a picture frame, and the picture frame says, "Find your voice, make a difference, believe in yourself, change the world." And that's the gift that I would like to give to others. The same gift that was given to me, I want to pay that forward. And that's why I do what I do.
Very, very powerful. Man, I want to thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us on Bashani Radio App Magazine. I want to thank your publicist, Media Plug Now, for hooking up this powerful interview with us. Because I think your story is absolutely necessary. If people want to learn more about you, want to get a copy of this book, maybe even want to be coached by you, how can they do that?
They can go to my website, www.valerieacampbell.com. Mm. There's a contact page, or www.valerieacampbell.com/the difference. And they can purchase the book on there.
Very, very powerful, ladies and gentlemen. And your final words, Valerie?
Don't lean back on finding your voice, because life is short. We're only here for a finite time. Even though we're eternal beings, we're only here for a finite amount of time. So, you know, we have to leave a legacy for the next generation. And we need our voices to do that.
Wow. This has been extraordinary. Valerie, we thank you at Bashani Radio App Magazine for taking the time to come and share and just pour into our listeners. Because I think, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, sometimes people need to realize there's some things that are way more important than, you know, what was the hottest rap song out, or you know what I mean, what so and so is doing on Instagram, and you know, all of those things, you know, this there's people that are really going through it. And I think this masterpiece that you created will affect the world, and I think it will live way beyond your physical components here and make a difference in everybody's life. And I thank you for that.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, one thing, if you don't remember nothing else, I want you to remember this. In life, before you see people's glory, you must always remember there was a story. Valerie allowed us to see her story, experience her story, feel her story so that when you see the glory, you can understand there was a long path to that destination. Nothing happens overnight, ladies and gentlemen. All great leaders, entrepreneurs have a story. And in that story, there's a lot of failures. But there's also, with every failure, brings you one step closer to success and puts you from, think how Valerie's story happened. She went from abuse to power. From abuse to power. You hear that? That was a long road, but look at her now. You can't tell her nothing right now. And now she's leaving a legacy by helping as many people, as many women as she can help. And believe it or not, there are some men that probably went through the same thing and they probably just a little too embarrassed. But I can tell you this, being able to come from abuse to power lets you know that anything is possible. Valerie showed us that. Make sure you go visit Valerie at valerieacampbell.com. That's V-A-L-E-R-I-E-A Campbell, C-A-M-B-P-B-E-L-L. That's C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L.com. And grab that book. Leave her a message. Let her know how this interview, this has helped you. Let her know, you know, if when you receive the book or you download it or whatever, let her know, you know, if it's touched you, because that's why she's doing what she's doing. Until next time, I'm Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. This is Bashani Radio app, and you can listen online at BashaniRadio.com. All right. Until next time, this is Bashani Radio App Magazine. And like we always say, we bring you extraordinary, extraordinary entrepreneurs. And we just want you to be a witness to greatness. Until next time, I love you. And you can't do a damn thing about it, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
The all-new Bashani Radio app for iPhone and Android. You may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone. Call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Coming through clean, pushing big things, Bashani magazines. Give a brother some dap, do the right thing, download the app. Coming through clean, pushing big things, Bashani magazines. Yeah, give a brother some dap, do the right thing, download the app.
Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Long Island, and money-making Manhattan, home of Bashani Radio app.
New York, here we come!
From Wall Street to the boogie down Bronx, keep it locked in. We started from the bottom, now we here. Bashani Radio app, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. Now we here.